At a time when investors are confronted with market volatility and a variety of challenges fueled by the uncertainty of inflation, unsettled geopolitical tensions, and economic pressures, Justin Klein and Steve Peasley stand ready to take your finance and investment questions and share their unbiased answers. This is InvestTalk, independent thinking, shared success. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. The clarity for your path forward starts now. Here is KPP Chief Executive Officer, Financial Advisor, Justin Klein.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome back to InvestTalk. This is our Friday, March 8th, 2024 edition. I'm Justin Klein, and our objective, as always, is to help you become a better investor. Now, we're closing out the week strong, the same way that we always do, which is to answer your finance and investment questions and giving you the right perspective that you can take back to your own personal situation and make the right decision for yourself. And in that process, we hope to impart a lot of lessons that will help you make decisions on your own. I won't always be here. You can't always tune in and follow exactly what we're doing, but you can take lessons to bring back to your own situation. And that's what this show is all about. It's about educating you, keeping the important topics top of mind, and helping you filter out the noise. There's so much noise in social media, on TV, etc. You don't want to be at the whims of CNBC, for example. They're emotional just like the average investor is, and we want you to be unemotional, focusing on the facts based on how the market is, not how the market or how you hope the market to be. So many people invest in that way. They infuse their politics or their views about the future, when in reality, it's about what is the future, not what you hope the future to be. So I'm excited to close out this week with you. But first, before I get to all of today's news, I want to highlight our latest InvestTalk Market Madness contest. It's the first one. And instead of brackets, we're pitting companies head-to-head in an epic showdown of market prowess. And you can join the fun by heading over to investtalk.com, downloading your bracket, filling it out using the link provided. And the person who submits the best bracket will win $1,000. So hurry up. You have only until May 17th to submit your predictions. And once again, it is free to enter the InvestTalk Market Madness contest. Now, with that said, we're going to talk about the market performance for today, and it was certainly an eventful Friday. We're going to run down some show topics, but right after we answer our first caller question now.
Hi, this is Adrian calling from Texas, and I want your opinion on ticker symbol GPS. That's the Gap. It has earnings being announced today, and I wanted your thoughts on if this is a good short-term or long-term investment, 3% yield. Let me know what you think. Thank you so much.
All right, looking at the Gap, and yeah, this is a name that did well during the 90s, and it was kind of falling out of fashion to a degree, but it's not just the Gap. They own Old Navy, Banana Republic, as well as Athleta, which is an up-and-coming athletic apparel brand, and that's what's really sparked, I think, their growth. In 2023, they lost 40 cents. For fiscal year 2024, they're expected to make $1.43, however. On a $21 stock, that's not bad. You know, a low to mid-teens multiple, not bad. But going forward, growth is expected to be pretty meager. And if you look at the profitability, return on equity, only right around 2%. And its five-year average is right around 2% as well. If you look at free cash flow, about $1 billion, which is good considering the enterprise value is only $7 billion. So if they can keep the cash flow up, that's pretty nice. Let me go to, yeah, but this is like an all-time high in cash flow. And you're really betting, I think, on that Athleta brand. It's really what you're trying to do. If you believe in that Athleta brand, then this is the name for you. If you don't, then, you know, you might want to invest in something like a Lululemon. Now, I will say the technicals look good. The earnings, the market liked. It was up on this earnings announcement. And if it can maintain these cash flows, I'm going to give this one a thumbs up. Because that's a very good free cash flow yield, over 10%. I just don't know how durable that brand is. Athleta versus a Lululemon, an Aloe, etc. So I'm going to give it a modest thumbs up, mainly because of that chart. But you really have to, you're really tying your faith here to that Athleta brand. Now, we have a lot of ground to cover over the next 45 minutes or so. And our main focus point concerns this question. Is it realistic to expect inflation to fall in 2024? We're now almost through the first quarter. We've had some inflation data, some not so good in January, and some fairly good in February. So kind of a mixed bag so far. So we're going to cover whether or not this means there'll be a soft landing in 2024. And does this impact housing market inflation as well? Because ultimately, it's going to impact the Fed cutting or not cutting throughout the year. So we're going to look at that topic. Also, the jobs number came out today and it beat headline expectations. But the devil, more than any other jobs number in recent memory, is certainly in the details. Is certainly in the details. And we're going to unpack those details. Also, we're going to dig into the areas of the country that, from a job perspective, are booming. Now, let me give you a hint. It's in the Sun Belt region, most of all. But we're going to dig into the details there as well. And then we're going to look at the current equity market run and what that might mean for future return expectations in equities. We also have some voice bank questions. One is on Opera, O-P-R-A, and SoFi, SoFi Technologies. And since it's Friday, I'll share a brief highlight of the newest KPP Premium newsletter around the halfway point of the show. Now, of course, I welcome your finance and investment questions right now on 888-99-CHART.
InvestTalk callers make each podcast unique.
I was calling about Intel, if it's worth holding on to, or should I sell it?
Their questions are curious.
Hello, I have saved up around $80,000, and I was wondering what I should do to make it grow.
Careful.
I'm just wondering, is this a value trap? Because it looks like it's gone down quite a bit.
Concerned.
It's taken quite the tumble today. I've been trying to get out of this position for a while. I think I waited too long.
And clever.
It does seem to be situated in some areas of expanding population.
And Justin Klein, Steve Peasley, and now Luke Guerrero are always ready with their unbiased answers.
And this is, it looks like a classic example of chasing yield. Don't chase the yield.
Next 12 months price to earnings is around 30. I just don't see it at this price.
Don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART. Let's take a quick look at your financial to-do list. At the top, make that phone call to the InvestTalk Anytime listener line, 888-99-CHART.
Now, let's take a look at the market performance for today. And it was a doozy. Certainly a turnaround Friday. We were up early on the jobs number, but we reversed for most of the day. And this was very similar to Tuesday. And I talked on, I believe, Wednesday's show saying, hey, if you have another day like a Tuesday, that suddenly starts to look like major distribution and a market top, or at least a near-term top. And you line that up with Option X week next week, as well as, most importantly, the expiration of the BTFP program from the Fed that was put in place during the banking crisis last year. that certainly is going to be somewhat of a headwind to liquidity. Now, it's not the end-all be-all. It's just one factor, but it has been an important factor over the past year. And then you layer on sentiment. You know, sentiment is clearly at an extreme within the major, let's say the AI space. Because a lot of other tech is certainly rolled over. But AI has been kind of holding everything up, including NVIDIA. And NVIDIA looked like today a major, from a technical perspective, major bearish candle, bearish engulfing is what it was. Bearish engulfing at a high, on high volume, the highest volume since May of last year. That is about as bearish of a day you could see on a chart. And MSCI, not quite as bearish, but similar. So you add Tuesday and now Friday together, 2 out of 4 days are major distribution days. Now we still need kind of a follow-through day, kind of a back-to-back. We'll see what Monday brings. But if you do get a follow-through, that certainly means, I think, this near-term euphoric top is in. And large cap growth down today, over 1%. Small cap value was actually up. Mid cap value was actually up. And large cap value barely down, only 3 basis points there. So definitely you're seeing a shift like you saw in the fall, mid-October. You saw growth start to roll over until the beginning of the year. You've seen this rebound in growth, and that's starting to fade once again. So I want to highlight that because we are likely approaching a major inflection point, at least in the growthier names in the market. And with the weaker dollar, what does that mean? That's a big factor here. The dollar is weaker. That is positive for economic growth. It's positive for harder assets, especially commodities, basic materials, energy, etc. And so money is flowing into those names. And it's just starting. Look at the gold's breakout. And it continues to just power higher each day. So very interesting shift that's happening in markets right now. And you really need to sit up, pay attention, especially because the indexes are heavily weighted towards those growth names that are now starting to fade. Now let's keep things moving and pivot back to the Vestock Voice Bank for this question that came in earlier.
Hi, Duncan from New York. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you for answering about my Tyson stock question. I'm probably going to make a couple of phone calls about more stocks because when I entered your contest for the March Madness, which is obviously a great idea, I saw some very interesting stocks. So just be prepared for Duncan from New York to ask you a couple of more questions about stocks. But my first question is to look into stock ticker SOFI, SoFi Bank. So I know that it did drop dramatically. This is in my long-term trading account, brokerage account. SoFi, I know it's a growth company too, but I'm trying to just see what you guys think of it as a long-term hold, such as like 5 to 10 years. So hoping to get some insight and have a great day. Bye.
Well, just a heads up, we will be highlighting each of the matchups as those days approach, or those matchups approach on air. So we will be talking a bit about all of the names that are in the contest. Good and bad, but we will be looking at that. As for SoFi, SoFi is one of those fintech names that has grown throughout the years. And its earnings just recently went positive. And that's one issue, is that it's trading at $7.71, but it's only supposed to make 35 cents a share next year. That's not great. That's not great. Okay. And analysts are downgrading those expectations. So I don't like that. And revenue growth is certainly slowing. And by next year, revenue growth is supposed to be flat. Now, for everyone else out there, this is a fintech company founded in 2011. So it is new. It's out of San Francisco. So it's one of those Silicon Valley names. And it offers personal loans, credit cards, mortgages, investment accounts, banking services, financial planning, etc. I believe they have bought smaller brokerages as well. And I think that's good. But if you look at its multiples it's trading at, it's not that exciting. And its cash flow remains negative $7 billion, billion 12 months. And its profitability is negative. And it continues to issue more and more shares. So I see no reason to own SoFi. I think there are much better opportunities out there. Now we're going to a quick break. Please remember, you can call anytime and leave your questions on the InvestTalk Voice Bank. And if you're listening via our live stream or on AM 1220 radio in the Silicon Valley area, you can call right now at 888-99-CHART.
Every investor is working to build a secure financial future. How they get there and when they get there, that depends on many variables. The more you learn about how the market works, the better your chances. So don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Now, my focus point today concerns this question. Is it realistic to expect inflation to fall in 2024? Now, we've had a mixed bag so far over the first 2 months of the year. More of an accelerating inflationary picture in January and a decelerating one in February. Overall, though, inflation has decelerated dramatically from its peak. And the big question is, will we be able to get to the Fed's 2% target? Now, their most watched inflation measure, which is the PCE index, that's the Personal Consumption Expenditures Price Index, it peaked at 7.1% in June of 2022. As of January, 2.3%. Now, the CPI index, that peaked at 8.9% and is now around 3.1%. And a lot of the reason CPI is higher is because of a higher weight of housing inflation, rent inflation, and that is certainly lagging. And so that's certainly going to converge, I think, over time, the CPI to the PCE, because I've talked about this before, that rent inflation number is severely lagging because looking at rents that were signed 11 months ago, for example. Now, inflation has had spread to many categories. And housing, vehicles, and a few others account for about half of the excess inflation from pre-pandemic levels. And that remains the case, but certain areas are ebbing more than others. Durables are one. And when you think of durables, you think of cars, you think of refrigerators, things like that. And supply chains easing certainly help that. And lower demand overall because many of those things are financed. So it's an area where higher rates does tend to have an impact. Food and energy also coming down, mainly because oil prices are coming down. And the Ukraine war problem in early 2022 continues to fade, and the worst fears of the impact on inflation and supply weren't realized. That's still obviously a geopolitical issue, but from an inflation perspective, the initial reaction was a bit overblown. Now, as I talked yesterday, productivity has helped bring down inflation overall and keep the economic growth going. But you are starting to see signs that inflation is picking up. One is the logistics problem. Think of what's happening in the Red Sea. That is causing shipping costs to start to rise once again. Now, the real question will be, is are we getting a soft landing, a hard landing, or a no landing situation? Now, the jobs number certainly says maybe soft landing. But other data like spending. That's kind of saying no landing. And so I think there's actually a risk here that inflation doesn't ebb the 2%. And that a Fed rate cut is pushed off not just farther out in 2024, but maybe even in 2025. And if there is a rate cut at all in 2024, it might be only one or two versus the three that was prognosticated by the Fed near the end of last year and the six that was priced in by the market in late fall. And it's going to be very interesting to see how the Fed manages this, if there is a reacceleration. Because at the end of the day, their main goal is to keep the Treasury market functioning. That's why you can see right now, what is the Fed doing? They're talking about cutting rates and doing QE, not QE, ending QT. So stopping the drawdown of their balance sheet. And they're doing that at a time when asset prices are near all-time highs. When euphoria in crypto and story stocks are near an all-time high. So it just goes to show you they're actually going to err on the side of inflation in order to keep the Treasury market functioning. And that's what I think is igniting gold and causing the dollar to sell off. Because it's fairly clear, at least in my mind, that yes, they talk about inflation. Yes, they talk about full employment. But it's now a game between the Treasury and the Fed that they're working together in conjunction to deal with massive amounts of Treasury supply. And so, in reality, while everyone talks about inflation, that's a sideshow compared to the real show, which is the Treasury market. Now we're heading into a break. I'm Justin Klein, ready to take your calls at 888-99-CHART.
Let's say you've been thinking about learning a new language. Okay, why? I mean, how would it come in handy? And where would you want to use it? Could it be that you have an upcoming international trip? Or maybe you want to connect with family members or friends from a different culture? I think you should know about Rosetta Stone. With millions of users, it's been the world's most trusted language learning program for 30 years. Rosetta Stone is available on your desktop or as an app with audio companion and the ability to download lessons offline. Rosetta Stone truly immerses you in the language you want to learn. It has a built-in, patented speech recognition engine called True Accent. So as you practice speaking, you'll get feedback on how well you pronounce words. With Rosetta Stone, you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. It's an intuitive process designed for long-term retention. You really learn to speak, listen, and think in your new language. Rosetta Stone is an amazing value, so your special skill set is within easy reach. You know you want to do this, so don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, InvestTalk listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off now at rosettastone.com/today.
In today's market, more than ever, you need unbiased investing guidance because it can help you achieve financial freedom. Well, you've come to the right place, InvestTalk. And Justin Klein is here now taking your calls live. So step up with your questions 888-99-CHART.
Just in a loop, I'm calling today about a company that was kind of intriguing to me that I came across, Opera Limited, ticker symbol OPRA. Kind of a small company, only $1 billion market cap. And I just wanted to call and see your take on this company and the fundamentals. The numbers look good. Actually kind of weirdly pays a high dividend with a good payout ratio, which is kind of interesting. Technicals, I think, maybe may have found some support around here. So I was just looking to see what you thought about the company, if you think it may be a good, maybe short to medium hold. I don't think I will hold it long term, but it is very interesting just because of the numbers, and I've never heard of it. So let me know your thoughts. Thank you very much for everything you guys do. Bye.
All right. This is an internet brand, Opera Limited, and they're out of Norway. I've actually downloaded their browsers before, and that's what their main business is, Opera Mini, Opera Browser for Android and iOS and computers. And this is mainly tailored to gamers. Now, I don't think I downloaded it for gaming or anything like that. It's been a while, but I definitely have downloaded it. So it's tailored for crypto enthusiasts. So that's interesting. That's probably one of the reasons why it has such a fandom. And I kind of like it, even though, you know, I'm not a huge crypto fan. Not say I think it has its place, but I digress. Let's just say that. But Opera itself as a business is pretty good. $76 million in free cash flow on a enterprise value of $1.18 billion. They have pretty much no debt. So that's about a 7% free cash flow yield. Pretty good. For a company, earnings are up and down, but they're still growing, and revenue growth is in the mid-teens. I like that. And they're buying back shares. They're paying that dividend. Now, it isn't a quarterly dividend. It's a Norwegian company. This happens with a lot of foreign companies. They pay either annually or semi-annual as opposed to quarterly. So understand that. But it's a 5% dividend yield on a billion-dollar company. That small cap name, that, like you said, is pretty rare. But they're doing good things with their cash flow. Smart things. They're not just issuing a bunch of shares and running a unprofitable business just to get growth. They're in a growth area. The technicals are starting to improve. I like that. Return equity right on 20%. I like that. I'm going to give this one a thumbs up. I like that it's focusing on a couple niches, right? Talking about crypto and gaming. Those are obviously popular. So I'm going to give Opera, OPRA, a thumbs up. Now, the KPP premium newsletter is finished today and will be distributed to subscribers tomorrow morning. In the market conditions section, we talk about how Friday was a market sell-off as investors digested the latest employment report, and NVIDIA, among other high-flying tech stocks, slipped down over 5% for NVIDIA. Despite the week, it did climb more than 6% and is up over $1 trillion since the beginning of the year. The broad pullback in stocks could be indicative of an overextended rally, pointing to potential overvaluation concerns among investors. The Dow Jones Industrial Average dropped 68 points. S&P was down 0.6%, and the NASDAQ was down 1.2%. All three indexes down on the week. The labor market totaled 275,000 jobs added in the month of February, above forecasts of 198. However, unemployment rate was higher than expected, 3.9%. Wage inflation moderated, and previous months were revised lower. The SEC has unveiled the rules demanding companies' disclosures on climate risks, signaling a moderated shift towards incorporating environmental considerations into corporate reports. And we dig even further in the market commentary section of the newsletter. In the stock ideas section, we highlight a leading food delivery platform that went public in 2020, experienced substantial growth during COVID pandemic as demand for food delivery service surged. However, the company faces challenges as intense competition, regulatory concerns, and risks of customer retention as dining restrictions ease. Now, it needs to hold support. Otherwise, we'd like to see it come back until around the $100 range before looking at buying. We also look at an independent energy company engaged in exploration, development, and production of oil, natural gas, and natural gas liquids. It's focused on the Permian Basin, Eagle Ford, Shale, and Bakken regions. And we'd like to see momentum pick up before adding the portfolio, but we still see positive aspects to their chart as well as their fundamentals. Now, there's a good deal of valuable information in the KPP Premium newsletter when you subscribe at investtalk.com. And you'll get it every Saturday morning in your inbox. Now, let's touch a bit on that jobs number. Let's dig into the details. As I just said, 275,000 jobs created in February, exceeding the 198,000 economists had expected. But unemployment ticked up 3.9%. Wage growth slowed. And January was sharply revised lower from 353,000 jobs created. That was a gangbuster booming report. The actual number, 229,000. So if you subtract out that from the beat, we actually missed pretty dramatically. And in fact, full-time workers are falling. So the jobs market, I think, is clear. It's no longer modestly strong. I would say it's modestly weak. It's pretty clear. Average hourly earnings, 0.1% from the previous month, below what Wall Street expected, which was a growth of 0.2%. And significantly slower than January at 0.5%. So once again, the devil here is in the details. Over the past year, the U.S. economy has added an average 230,000 jobs a month. But mainly that is immigration. Foreign-born workers over the past year have added 1.5 million jobs, whereas native-born Americans fell 881,000. Now, you might look at that and say, oh, they're coming in and taking a lot of jobs. That's partially true, but a big part of that actually is boomers. Demographics, right? The boomer generation, they tend to be less often immigrants, more native-born. And immigrants tend to be younger. And a lot of those boomers are retiring, continue to retire. Now, employers across healthcare, government, and food services led the gains in February. But once again, the cyclical parts of the economy continued to not do so hot. So, that was the job picture for the month of February. And that is why gold broke out. It's why the dollar broke down. And why the odds of a Fed rate cut have been moved up to June. Let me pull up that data here. It's pretty clear. And Jerome Powell even said in his recent testimony, March, no rate cut. But there's now a 30% chance there'll be a rate cut in May, but the best chance will be in June. 53% chance there'll be one cut by June, and 17% chance there'll be two cuts by June. And that's where things are kind of coalescing, around that mid-year first Fed rate cut. And the job market certainly, as of late, confirms that. Now let's swing back to the InvestTalk Voice Bank for a question that came in earlier on 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Justin and Luke. This is Rob calling from Las Vegas. Just wanted to ask your opinion on a couple of stocks that I'm looking at in the semiconductor space. The first one is Vishay Intern Technology Incorporated. Ticker symbol is VSH. And the other one is Skyworks Solutions, SWKS. I'm interested in adding one of these two into my portfolio and just wanted to get your opinion on either of them. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Well, this is pretty simple. Skyworks is one of our favorite value plays within the semiconductor space. We've owned it for a number of months now. We've been picking it up kind of sub 100 for clients. Now it's at 106 and change, down a little bit today. But historically, Skyworks is one of the most consistent, maybe not highest growth, but most consistent from a profitability perspective semiconductor companies in the world, and they make chips that go into handsets. They have pretty much no debt on their balance sheet, trading an enterprise value to EBITDA right around 11. Modestly undervalued. Its five-year return on equity is around 23% on average. Right now it's around 15, so lower than average, but I think there's room for reversion to the mean. I mean, positive reversion. 2.5% dividend yield, and they certainly can pay that and likely will continue to increase it. And they've been buying back shares over the last 5 years. From 170,000 shares outstanding to 160,000. Sorry, 170 million shares outstanding to 160 million shares outstanding. So it's a good capital allocator. Great business. Technicals are modestly bullish. I'm picking Skyworks over VSH. Thanks for the call. Now on Fridays, we have to generally make time for a quick rundown of some key benchmarks. The two-year yield, 4.48%. For perspective, last week it was at 4.53, so down a little bit on that weaker jobs report. And weaker in economic reports more generally. The PMI yesterday, for example. The 10-year yield, 4.07%, down from 4.18% last week. Gold, $21.77 an ounce, an all-time high. Last week it was at $2,083 an ounce. So up nearly $100 an ounce this week. Clear breakout in gold. Probably needs a little consolidation, a little overbought here, but pullbacks still seem like they should be bought, and the price will go higher in time. Silver, $24.32 an ounce. That's up from $23.16 an ounce last week, over a dollar on the week. Oil, $77.83 per barrel. That's down from $79.79 last week. And gasoline prices. National average, $3.40, up from $3.33 last week. Here in California, $4.86 per gallon. Last week was at $4.76, so it ticked up there. For comparison, in Alabama today, the average gallon of gas was trading or selling for only $3.09. So here in California, we continue to pay pretty high gas prices. Now, when people take the time to leave an InvestTalk review on iTunes, we like to thank them for their courtesy by getting to their questions quickly. Jeff from Torrance says, love the podcast, wishing Steve all the best. I got into SIAI, S-I-A-I, S-I-A-I, at 294 for a long-term hold. Since then, it's run up to 600. I was wondering if it's time to trim and take some profits. How do the technicals look? It's about 6% of my portfolio. This is in the transportation business. It provides less than truckload, non-asset truckload, expedited, and logistics services across the United States. And these trucking companies have been doing very well. Let me look at a longer-term chart here. I will say the last few days, bearish. Absolutely bearish. So certainly drastically overbought. Pre-pandemic, it was not nearly this profitable. It's extremely extended from all its major moving averages. I have no problem with the company, but at 45 times earnings, I'm not paying that much for a trucking company. I would at least trim this in half, get it down to 3% of your portfolio, and I would probably reduce it even more than that. So this is absolutely a great time to be trimming your position in a big way. Thanks for the call. Now let's squeeze in one more question now.
Hey, I had a question for the show. I was looking into purchasing IAU. It's an iShares Gold Trust to try to get a gold play going. I'm trying to understand this. Love the show. If I could get your analysis on this, greatly appreciate it. This is James from Georgia.
This is very simple. This is what we would call paper gold. You are buying into a fund that buys future contracts in gold. Kind of similar to a GLD. And I believe, let's see here. Yeah, I believe IAU has a lower expense ratio, 25 basis points versus GLD is 40 basis points. Yeah, so same type of vehicle, but lower expenses. So if I'm picking one or the other, I'd go IAU. Nothing wrong with holding this. This is also at an all-time high. So thumbs up on IAU. Now this is Invest Talk. I'm Justin Klein. We have one goal here each and every weekday. And that's to help you achieve your own version of financial freedom. And our work continues after this final break. So if you're going to call, you want to do that right now at 888-99-CHART.
Got a question for Steve or Justin?
Hi, this is Rick from Hawaii. What are your thoughts on writing put options?
My wife has a rollover 401k from a previous employer.
What's your question?
And I'm just wondering how you're able to predict these market reversals.
Right now, they've been under pressure. I think that buying opportunity is being set up.
IPOs are there for the vast majority of them to extract capital, extract money from the novice individual investor.
Here's Ken in Texas.
Hey, Steve. I got a Lazy Boy recliner that I love and my wife loves, and my son makes fun of me for buying because I'm 70 years old. But
do you own it or looking to buy it?
Now is a good time to call Invest Talk. 888-99-CHART.
For investors, the goal of achieving financial freedom requires unbiased information, strategic planning, and determination. Congratulations! You've found the podcast that is dedicated to helping you succeed. Invest Talk.
Hello, guys. I currently own Sprout Market, SFM, and I'm thinking about trimming it because I'm up over 200%. And the company I want to buy is Spartan Nash, which is going down quite a bit lately. At what levels should I buy it? Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
All right, looking at two companies in the grocery business, but they're definitely different. Now, SFM is Sprouts Farmers Market. It's the name we've been buying for clients since it was in the high teens. Now it's at $63 and change. No dividend, but the reason we loved it, secular trends. It operates 386 stores in 23 states offering natural and organic foods. And obviously people want better food. And they're focused a lot on produce and having great fresh produce. And it's a model that has worked. And so that's why we bought it. We love it. Yes, these levels, it's certainly overbought from a technical perspective. And so I understand your urge to trim, and trimming this, I have no problem with. But that doesn't mean you should just go buy a name in the space that looks cheap, but in reality, not a great business. That's Spartan Nash. They own some of their own stores, but mainly they're a food distributor, a very low margin business. And you can see that with their operating margin of 1%. And their 5-year return on equity is about 6 or 7%. It is a relatively poor business. Actually, I'll say it is a poor business. So it might look cheaper than, say, Sprouts on a multiple basis. But, you know, this is a company whose stock chart has gone nowhere, been in a big range since basically 2006. Yeah, it's paid a dividend. Get a 4% dividend. But you can do much better with your money. And they have a good amount of debt on their balance sheet, which I don't like. Which means that dividend could certainly be in jeopardy. So trimming Sprouts, I have no issue with. But not to buy Spartan. Thanks for the call. Now, lastly, let's talk about where the job strength in the country is and where it shifted. 4 years ago, the West led all other regions in job growth. And salaries in major cities demanded a premium to those in smaller cities. But that has shifted as more and more people move out of those large, expensive cities and move elsewhere. 3 years ago, jobs in New York City commanded a 19% premium over the national median. Today, that's down to 14%. In 2021, Lincoln, Nebraska, workers were paid on average about 6% lower than the nation. Now it's only 3%. And a big part of this is remote work. People are picking up and moving their salaries elsewhere to states with lower taxes and cheaper costs of living. And both companies and individuals are priced out of the Bay Area. Even those in, say, San Francisco, who made six figures, still need a roommate, for example. And a recent study by CBRE, looking at 500 different U.S. companies that relocated headquarters in the past 6 years, found that a third of them left San Francisco, Los Angeles, or New York City areas, finding lower taxes and better business climates. And these are mostly tech companies, also manufacturing, also financial services, but mainly tech. Now, before the pandemic, employment in the West was growing about 2.3% per year, the highest in the nation. But now it's only 1.4% between May of 2022 and May of last year. The Sun Belt is the fastest, growing 2.4%. Places like Phoenix, Arizona. Places like Orlando, Florida. Places like North Carolina. And I don't think this is going to change. This is a long-term trend. We're post the pandemic. We're 4 years out, right? And it's pretty clear that these trends are going to remain in place. And if you own a home in those expensive markets, there's going to be natural pressure downward. As vice versa, if you live in cheaper regions of the country, there's going to be natural migration out of those large cities. Because people can. People are. People will. I'm Justin Klein. This completes another Invest Talk program. We thank you for listening, and we encourage you to tell your friends and family about our free podcast downloads, which they can find anytime at iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play. And be sure to rate and review on iTunes as well. And remember to tell your friends about the Market Madness Contest. It's free to enter for a chance to win $1,000. Learn more at investtalk.com. Independent thinking, shared success. This is InvestTalk. Enjoy your weekend.
InvestTalk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Steve Peasley is president, and Justin Klein is chief executive officer of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.